From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Governor Kay Ivey delivered her State of the State address last night. She says two of her top priorities are the state prison system and education. Ivey also announced she will create a group to study the impacts of a state lottery and other legalized gambling. Two local historic groups are in negotiations to buy the historic First Presbyterian Church building from First Baptist Church. If the sale goes through, it would save the historic building from being torn down. Both groups say the early conversations have been positive. And the city of Wetumpka held a groundbreaking ceremony yesterday for a new football stadium at the Wetumpka Athletic Complex. The stadium is scheduled for completion in August, just in time for football season. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Are you ready to invest in your future and work with a Southern brand you know and trust? Jenny King, the King of Clean, is in very high demand right now in this area. So we're looking for motivated, customer-oriented people who want to pursue the dream of working for themselves, but not by themselves. Go to JennyKingCleans.com now and see how our proven track record can help you become financially independent with a company that has been cleaning for over 30 years. That's JennyKingCleans.com.
Jenny King, the King of Clean.
Grammy-nominated Joe Bonamassa, hailed as one of the world's greatest guitar players. Blues rock titan Joe Bonamassa, live in concert on Thursday, February 13th at the MPAC. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Joe Bonamassa. Don't miss your chance to experience the guitar event of the year.
There's something new in the oven at the Home Depot. Air Fry. Only in the Frigidaire Gallery Air Fry Electric Range. Satisfy your family's fried food craving with a healthier, tasty cooking alternative. Right in your oven. It also comes with self-clean, true convection, and a very tasty price. Just $798. With up to 30% off appliance special buys, it's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. See store for details. Valid through February 26th.
Let the fun begin with the all-new Fox Wednesday.
Yes!
It's TV's biggest competitions, The Masked Singer, and the premiere of Lego Masters. First, TV's number one show is bigger than ever.
The Masked Singer!
Then, Lego Masters turns a global phenomenon.
Welcome to Lego Masters.
Into a high-stakes reality competition.
I am super stressed out.
Hosted by Will Arnett.
Get your brick on!
Grab the family for the premiere of Lego Masters.
Yes!
Right after The Masked Singer. Fox tonight.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday, 272-9228. Any caller can get in on Sweet Creek Farm Market Gift Basket Drawing. When do we do that drawing? We do it Friday from 2:30 to 2:45, somewhere in that time frame. If you want to get in, all you have to do is call. But if you're a first-time caller, your name will go in twice. And people who have been first-time callers have had tremendous success by being first-time callers and then getting their name in on the drawing. I don't think there are many people in this time. I want to thank Bradley Byrne for...
Yes.
There are not many...
No, not many. And I want to thank Bradley Byrne, both.
Bradley, we want to thank Bradley Byrne for calling in today. Very informative guy. It's interesting on the coronavirus that they did a full briefing on that, but it's that serious. We didn't even get to that news cut yesterday. They're quarantining, sending, matter of fact, can you pull that cut up from yesterday?
Yeah,
listen in.
The number of people infected with coronavirus surged by more than 3,000 overnight as experts worry it could become a pandemic. This morning in the epicenter city of Wuhan, a newly built hospital dedicated to treating the virus started to accept new patients. More than 420 people have died in China and more than 20,000 people have become sick worldwide. Mola Lange is at Princeton University, that's in New Jersey, where about 100 students who recently traveled to China were required to, quote, self-quarantine. Mola, good morning. I'm not sure what that is. Doesn't sound good, though. How are the students doing?
Five students here on campus are still being assessed, but school officials told us this morning that no students at any point have shown any signs or symptoms of coronavirus. This has been precautionary. The requirement to self-quarantine is part of federal and state guidelines. But, you know, it shows, it's just another indication of how fears of this rapidly spreading virus are spreading throughout the country here in the United States, more than 7,000 miles from where this outbreak began.
You're afraid to go out because there is a lot of panic everywhere.
As the coronavirus leaves parts of China in a seemingly never-ending lockdown,
I think it's quite safe to go outside now if you don't interact with people.
Some countries are taking extreme measures to stop its spread. Australia sent hundreds of evacuees from Wuhan to a remote island in the Indian Ocean for at least 2 weeks to monitor them for symptoms.
Okay, I got good news and I got bad news. The bad news is you may have the coronavirus. The good news is we're sending you to an island for 1 month.
All expenses paid.
I'm going like, yeah, I'm feeling the coronavirus coming up. I thought that was interesting. Let's listen to the second part of the story.
Japan officials quarantined thousands of cruise ship passengers after a Hong Kong man who sailed on it last month tested positive for the virus. And in Hong Kong, more than 2,000 medical workers went on strike, demanding that the government close all its borders with mainland China. The crisis is far-reaching. Coronavirus cases have spread to more than two dozen countries. Two deaths have been identified outside of mainland China, but the World Health Organization called some countries' restrictions excessive.
There is no reason for measures that unnecessarily interfere with international travel and trade.
In the U.S., officials have identified a second case of human-to-human transmission, this time in California. The CDC is currently monitoring 82 people for potential infection.
What is there to still be concerned about?
In some cases, a person without symptoms seems to have transmitted the virus. How often does that happen?
Dr. Mark Mulligan is head of infectious diseases at NYU Langone in New York City.
It seems that the virus spreads fairly easily when you're not isolating cases quickly and quarantining contacts quickly. They're now doing that in China. We're doing that here. How effective those measures will be, again, is something that worries me.
Well, the Department of Health and Human Services announced yesterday that it's making nearly $250 million in emergency funds available to respond to the coronavirus. That'll include funds that'll go towards screening and monitoring returning U.S. citizens, Tony, who are expected back here in the United States in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and serious, very serious over there, somewhat serious here. I think, and it's funny, Joe Biden actually blamed Donald Trump for it here in the United States. Says his inept and lack of attention to the problem. Unbelievable. And the thing he was doing was the recommendation of the chief medical officer that does infectious diseases like this. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Scott. Scott, welcome aboard the AMR show.
Hey, this is Doug.
Wow, Romney announces he will vote to convict Trump. That's incredible. Boo on Romney. I'm sorry, Scott. What's on your mind today?
This is Doug.
Oh, Doug. Sorry. Bad hearing on Joey. Get your ears fixed.
Yeah,
that would be bad. Friday's drawing, 1-5. Not Scott, that's Doug.
Sorry.
Doug, 1-5, you want to be in the drawing? All right.
You're in, Doug.
I was reading David McCullough's book on Truman, and I love Truman's quote about who's in charge of American policy. The difficulty with many career officials in government is that they regard themselves as the men who really make policy and run the government.
Good saying.
They look upon the elected officials as just temporary occupants. Every president on earth history is faced with this problem, how to prevent career men from circumventing presidential policy. Some presidents have handled the situation by setting up what amounted to a little State Department of their own. President Roosevelt did this and carried on direct communication with Churchill and Stalin. I did not feel that I wanted to follow this method because the State Department is set up for the policy of handling foreign policy operations, and the State Department ought to take care of them. But I wanted to make it plain that the President of the United States, not a second or third echelon in the State Department, is responsible for making policy. That was appropriate for this week.
Yeah, I think that's very appropriate. So what do you think about Romney voting for conviction of the president?
You just don't know what he's going to do.
I want to see how his constituents are going to like that in Utah.
Yeah, apparently they don't have a problem with him with his other votes, so I don't know what's up with people from Utah.
Well, if I know some people from Utah. I have some friends that were from Utah that when I was up in Washington. Wonderful people, salt of the earth type folks. But Romney, he puts it, his piety is just too far out there. Everything is about, I'm a good person. I'm going to show you I'm a good person by doing things like this. This is crazy. Need I say more, right?
Right. Exactly.
Doug, thanks for the telephone call. We got your name in the drawing. When do we do the drawing?
Appreciate it. Friday, 2:30.
What's in the gift basket?
Stuff from Sweet Creek Farms. Looking forward to going back. We live on the other side of town, so.
There you go.
We'll have a reason to go.
There you go. We'll listen in on Friday. We're going to do that drawing.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Truman had some good things, like talking about the economists. On one hand, they would say this. On the other hand, say this. And Truman said, what we need is a one-handed economist. Well,
and it's almost, it's a weird agreed upon idea in history, American history, from historians on the right and the left, that after World War II and the creation of the national security state that, you know, we've grown into under multiple presidents of different parties now for the last, you know, 50 plus years, it changed our government in a pretty fundamental way. The Constitution is still there, but the idea that you have the president surrounded by this permanent national security apparatus, I'm not claiming whether or not it's necessary, but it does bring up interesting constitutional questions.
Well, particularly when you go from a staff of like 26, 27 to 300.
Right.
That's just totally out of bounds. Let's flip over to the 5th and let's do Ed O'Keefe reporting on Iowa, with 71% of the vote in.
We are still waiting for a winner in the Iowa Democratic caucus due to the unprecedented technical glitches, but partial results from the state party already contain some surprises. With 71% of precincts reporting, former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg is in the lead, just ahead of Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Elizabeth Warren is third. Right now, former Vice President Joe Biden, who some thought could win Iowa, is trailing in fourth place, just ahead of Senator Amy Klobuchar. Ed O'Keefe is in New Hampshire, where the next contest is less than a week away. So, Ed, I guess the question is this. How are the candidates responding to these latest results?
The Iowa caucus and the results, they're usually a huge boost for the winner as they come into the New Hampshire primary, which is on Tuesday. And so while we don't have all the data so far to officially declare winner, it hasn't stopped some of the campaigns from spinning the partial results in their favor.
Thank you, New Hampshire.
Former Mayor Pete Buttigieg celebrated the partial release of the caucus results.
I'm here humbled by good news that's come over the airwaves today, mindful that we are, yeah, we can go ahead and celebrate that for a second.
As did Senator Bernie Sanders.
In Iowa, we received more votes on the first and second round than any other candidate.
I want to tell you about two folks that are at a real estate company called Wallace and Moody. Now, Wallace and Moody, two names in real estate, but the names that I want you to remember, that I want you to be thinking about, are Paul and Christy. They are personal friends of mine. They're realtors with a purpose, and their purpose is to help you list and or sell your house or help you buy a house. You know, they say skip Zillow, call Melo, because Paul and Christian Melo can do that and make help you out in listing and selling your home. What is it going to cost for you to talk to them? Nothing. Free is one of my favorite words around. So you can call them and just kind of find out what they're about. Meet them. Get to know them. See what they can do to help you. I'm going to give you Paul's number first. 334-399-7648. Christy's number is 334-398-3434. You want someone on your side of the ledger when you're listing your home. You want someone you can trust. I trust them. I know them. I know they can help you. Skip Zillow. Call Mello. Give them a buzz. Ask them what they can do for you. Urbanite, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Yes, sir. I want to sort of form an opinion on the, I guess it was a new law or proposed legislation that allows a citizen to sue sanctuary cities. It didn't get any media like that, which I was shocked by.
A new law where?
It was mentioned last night in the State of the Union, where you gave this to sanctuary cities if say ICE puts a memo saying this person's danger is given to us and the person goes out and hurts somebody. So if you put them in the city without locking them up.
Okay, I think you're cross-meaning things. You're talking about federal law that that they can have sanctuary cities or that they need to comply with the ICE rules?
No. If a citizen is hurt by somebody who was supposed to have been turned over to ICE,
they're
away for them to sue them now.
Right. That was the brother that was there. Right.
You think that's going to be a game changer?
I don't know if it's going to be a game changer because a lot of these cities, frankly, they don't give a damn. And they're thinking, so if somebody got hurt, they're probably going to get hurt anyhow, so we're not going to change what we're doing to try to protect people.
Who would pay the money in a multi-billion dollar lawsuit like that,
then? Well, you're really limited on who you can sue. You have an immunity by municipalities and states. Now, they can be sued, but it gets ratcheted down a lot. But and if a city did that and they did that as policy, and you approved the policy and approved the policy hurt somebody, then you may have a case.
So that's one of these, in the fullness of time, we'll just have to wait and see.
I've heard that somewhere before, you, Urbanite.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This is on 93.1, Dan Morris Show, Bud Jim. Hang on, coming back to you after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Porch Creek Indians can bring Alabama $1 billion. Funding education, better roads, job growth, without raising taxes. Don't let opportunity pass. This is your state, your decision, your moment. Don't settle for less. How can $1 billion shape our future? Speak up now at winningforalabama.com. Paid for by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.
You've been hearing a lot lately about the Porch Creek Indians' $1 billion plan for Alabama. Upon closer examination, that figure looks more like, fuzzy math. About a half of that billion won't go to the state at all. It will be spent by the tribe to build two new casinos, one in Birmingham and one in North Alabama. Those casinos will feature Las Vegas-style games like blackjack, craps, and roulette. But It will give the Poarch Creek a monopoly on gaming in the state, prohibiting any private sector competition. The Poarch Creek plan, good for the tribe, a gamble for Alabama. Call 334-261-0500 and tell your representatives to say no dice to the Indians' plan. 261-0500. 261-0500. Paid for by McGreen Investments, LLC, Birmingham, Alabama.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
You know, Romney would have been a better president than Barack Obama, but not by much. I cannot believe he's doing that, boys and girls. And think, Donald Trump went out and supported him.
Right.
Right after. This is incredible. Supported him in his U.S. Senate race and supported him for president. Bud, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday.
Good afternoon, you and Joey. How you doing?
We're doing great, except for Mitt Romney's got me mad.
Likewise.
Got a question for you.
Sure.
I want to take you back in time for 1 week.
Uh-oh.
Last week, your buddy Biden said, we will leave Iowa with our fair share of delegates.
Right.
His fair share right now is zero. That's the same as you, me, Joey, and my basset hound, Loki. So, and actually, I would say my basset hound, Loki, would have a better chance of winning the Democrat, even though I would, no. My hound is not going to run as a Democrat. I'll just tell you that right now.
You refuse to let him do that, right?
No, I would ban him from the house and make him live in the backyard forever. If he ever even thought about being a Democrat. But actually, he does urinate in my house quite a few. So since the Democratic Party urinates on the American citizens, maybe he has that only similar to the Democratic Party. But we know they're going to New Hampshire next week, correct?
They're there now.
Okay.
The vote, so Biden, the vote is next week.
Okay. Biden is going to be third or fourth or even fifth, even in New Hampshire.
Well, right now he's second in the polls, but my thing is he doesn't have money and he doesn't have organization. That's what killed him in Iowa, even though he spent a bunch of money through an Associated PAC, which didn't save him. But you have to have organization in both Iowa and New Hampshire, and he didn't have it in Iowa, does not have it in New Hampshire.
Right. And so he will, I mean, we have Buttigieg, who's polling 0% among African Americans in South Carolina. So Biden will win in South Carolina. But my question is, he's darn close to being mortally wounded coming out of Iowa. Mm-hmm. And he might be polling right now second in New Hampshire, but he's going to poll a minimum that his best is third place. And he'll be lucky to get third place. At what point does the self-declared front runner in the Democratic Party become mortally wounded and it has to pass the torch on to Sanders or Buttigieg or whoever else? Doesn't matter. Trump's going to slaughter him.
Who's that?
And I mean, you have Bloomberg, who's trying to buy his way to the nomination, which is really funny because earlier this week, listen, I do not care about Michael Moore. He disgusts me. But he made a wonderful, I watched his video that he had. Before a single vote was cast, two African Americans, an Asian American, were cast off the stage for debates. But yet Bloomberg can ask for a box so he can appear above the podium, just like a 90-year-old grandmother driving behind a wheel she can't even see over the dashboard. How does that square? I mean, everybody that wants to say, you know, we're all about fairness, we're all about diversity. No, the only diversity you have is how much money you got to pony up. mean, is this making any sense?
Well, you asked a bunch of questions in there and made several comments. Number one, when you read the Democratic National Committee rules, they said that the rules of number of donors and polling was going to take them up to the first primary, which happened on Monday. That's when they changed it, the things that were happening afterwards. So that's their answer to the question, is that they only had those rules up to Iowa, then things changed after Iowa. So that's number one. Not that I agree with it. I think they're making a tactical error in doing this, but they've done those before. As far as Biden, what would it take? I think Biden will come in third, maybe fourth, but third in Iowa. If he comes in second, that's going to New Hampshire, that's going to breathe life into his campaign. The thing that will breathe death into his campaign, if he goes to South Carolina, and instead of winning by 15, 20 points, he wins by 5 points. And Buttigieg has actually got, I think last number I looked, was 6% of the black vote in South Carolina, which is coming up from zero, but it's not at the 80% that Biden has. But if that number starts collapsing among African Americans, Biden is done for. He's done.
Who do you think ultimately is going to... Do you think, first of all, it's going to be a brokered convention? And second of all, if so, who do you think is going to be the nominee?
As a priest said to me one time, it's too soon to tell on the broker convention. You would have to have, Buttigieg would have to really catch on, and or Sanders, and you'd have to just keep splitting the vote among people. I think Biden actually is going to get knocked out after Super Tuesday, unless he falls in South Carolina, then the show will be over and the monkey will be dead. And Biden will be history. Biden's Achilles heel is he does not have organization. He had people that liked him, people who would say in polls that they liked him, but they don't show up to vote, i.e., look at Iowa. His whole problem was he was polling at one level, and then he couldn't turn the vote out. It's one thing somebody answering a telephone call and say, yes, I'm for Joey Clark. And then there's another thing, going and spending 2 hours voting for Joey Clark. Not that they wouldn't do it for my dear Joey, but they won't do it for my dear Joe.
Right.
It was an easy answer to a polling question. It's a very hard thing to do. I've been to an Iowa caucus in 1984, and it is not, it's hard. I mean, you drink coffee and you eat cake and you socialize, and if you've been out in the snow, out in the country for a couple of months, that may seem good to you, but it's not, it's not my idea of fun-packed, adventure.
I agree. I've driven enough through Iowa to know exactly what you're talking about. Snow up to your ears, it seems, very far apart. So I just say I watched the State of the Union. And, let me backtrack that. As I was driving, I did not watch the State of the Union. I listened to it intently with my eyes. But wonderful speech. One of the best speeches I've ever heard. Very positive. I know the Democrats are trying to spin it. Very bipartisan, et cetera, et cetera. No, he said what appealed to the ordinary blue-collar boom, as he put it last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to the next four years and 9 months and what he can do with Mitch McConnell to reshape the judiciary, which will affect America for the next 40 years to the positive.
Well, watch what he does at the prayer breakfast tomorrow. And I think that's going to be, I think he's really going to nail up the social justice and the judicial system tomorrow during the prayer breakfast. And I think they're going to be ready to go out and knock down fences for him.
Thank you, gentlemen. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. Break? Yes. Okay, gang, hang on. Sorry it took so long with that one. Going to be back right after this.
want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now. Most of us love to make buying decisions based on referrals from others. We've built our company on the compliments and referrals of our great customers. Hi, this is Terry for Weedman Lawn Care of Montgomery. Our golf course quality timed release products feed lawns for months, not days. We make your yard greener, thicker, more kid friendly. Strive to be weed free and do so with an environmentally sound approach to lawn care. But more importantly, you might want to hear what others say about their experience with us. Carlos C. says, Weedman prices for service are very competitive. The difference is you get the best service in the area. I highly recommend you call and get a quote from Weedman. Thanks, Carlos. Weedman is recommended by landscapers, golf course superintendents, and people like Chara S., who gushes. Weedman is very professional, timely, courteous, knowledgeable. I could keep going, but you get the point. I've used other lawn care services, but Weedman exceeds them all. That's quite a compliment. Go to WeedmanUSA.com for a free quote. Lawn care companies are not all alike. Go to WeedmanUSA.com today.
Looking for that perfect Valentine gift that says, I love you? Here it is. BF Goodrich Tires. Hi, I'm Jared at Tire City. This Valentine's weekend, you can save up to 50% when you buy four BF Goodrich passenger or light truck tires at Tire City. It's only 2 days, February 14th and 15th. Say I love you and save 50% on BF Goodrich Tires at one of Tire City's two locations.
Right tires, expert service, Tire City.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Coleman. My husband, Jeff Coleman's running for Congress. He grew up in the family moving van business. Right after we were married, his dad sent him overseas to work with their international agents. Our girls and I didn't see him much then, but he learned so much. When his dad moved to chairman, Jeff became president. Since then, the company has grown from 15 to 70 service centers around the world. Their revenues have increased tenfold. He's the hardest working man I know, and he has been since he was 10. For some reason, God gave him the ability to go more than most and not tire. That might help him in Congress. More later.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message, paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Montgomery area helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Montgomery area helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hey, this is Lyle from Margaret's Exquisite Jewelry, and I do my radio advertising on Blue Water. I'll tell you what, I use most of the stations, and I've been using it for so long, it's hard to tell with the money you spend on advertising if it does any good. When they come in and say, I heard you on the radio, I know it's Blue Water, and I love Blue Water.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated, Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call him today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a very spring-like storm system on the way today. High temperature will be in the middle 70s. Showers and thunderstorms, especially by this afternoon, this evening, and tonight. The greatest risk of severe weather would be from late this afternoon through the overnight hours, with damaging wind gusts the main threat. Can't rule out a tornado, and locally heavy rainfall amounts are possible. More rain Thursday with highs in the mid-60s, then breezy, much cooler Friday, highs in the 50s. Be sure you get our weather app on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. It has instant push notifications for severe weather alerts, plus advanced interactive radar. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Just Talk 93.1 WACV.
Never meaning no harm.
272-9228, that's where we are.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Mitt Romney thing is driving me crazy. Trump guilty of an appalling abuse of public trust. Man. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim. Jim, welcome aboard the Damar Show on a Wednesday.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, I watched old Milk Toast Mitch there.
He is just bitter.
He is still bitter.
Yep.
That's what it is. He is bitter because he was rejected. He wimped out as a candidate, and he's wimping out again. And for him to... Does he realize what he's doing? Besides the fact that he's ostracized himself now, he'll be kicked to the corner, and nobody will... You know, he won't be involved in anything. He might as well just hang it up.
It'll be interesting to see. He's on the Department of Homeland Security... Committee and also the Health Education, Health and Labor Committee. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I watched that. He's going to align himself with Shifty Shift and old Fat Boy Nadler. I mean, that's who he's going to take their word for it.
Jim, let me ask you something. What do you really think about Adam and Chair Bear?
But, I mean, does he realize he's aligning himself with those bunch of clowns?
I'm not sure. I mean, I was watching some of the Chris Wallace interview with him. I don't know. I would really like to know what's in his head, because the news today isn't going to be acquittal of Donald Trump. It's going to be that Mitt Romney voted for guilty plea.
And real quick on Chris Wallace, y'all remember right when all this got started, Chris Wallace was like, well, a Republican source is telling me there are like 20 senators that will want to move against the president.
If it was a secret ballot.
Right. It's now very clear that that source is Mitt Romney. Just seeing Chris Wallace and Romney sit down and talk, it's like, it's too obvious.
Well, what'd you expect from Mike Jr.?
Yeah,
but you know, it's just it's disgusting. And then Doug, he just committed Harry Caray because he ain't gonna, he's done now.
He was already done. That's the reason. I mean, I told the audience a couple of weeks ago that I had gotten word from somebody who's a well-known Alabama Democrat, not a national Democrat at all, very involved in Democrat circles for years, told me that Doug Jones is going to vote for conviction because he wants to remain in Washington, D.C., and he wants to lobby all his new friends in the Senate.
Yeah. And in fact, that's probably why he did it in the first place. He even went up there. He knew he wasn't going to be there but one time. So, you know, it's just, well, you know, he's an afterthought anyways. There'll be a few more Democrats are going to vote, you know, not to impeach it.
I think the most you can get is two more.
Yeah, but I kind of figured after the other ones decided not to do it, I thought Mitt would decide too. But he's just a weird bird, and I don't know what he's thinking, but you know. Maybe that's if he had been elected president, Dan. There's no telling what else he would have whipped out. I don't know. He got up there. I thought he was going to start crying there one time when he was reading his little speech there. But it's not going to do any good. And boy, he blew this thing away. He took on the hyperbole of the other side. I mean, oh boy.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I am so disappointed in this.
I mean, it's just, he's done it now, so he might as well just plan on an early retirement because, you know, they're going to go after him when he goes up for re-election.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's not going to run for president again. and expect to get win a state like Alabama.
Well, you know, he said that the worst thing that's ever happened to him was losing the presidency, and he's never gotten over it, and he's bitter, and he's just, that's what he's doing right now. He's just a bitter man. So he had his day today. He'll be an afterthought in another couple of weeks.
You remember when he did that speech talking about Trump, the real Trump? And he really thought he was doing something with that. This is the exact same thing. He really thinks he's doing something. And remember how he went 180 degrees?
Yeah.
So going for Trump, when he realized that Trump was a hell of a lot more popular than he was?
Yeah. He was just he wanted him out there helping get reelected.
Yeah, he helped him get elected to the U.S. Senate.
Then he stabs him in the back.
Well, and also Romney's been playing this political game for so long. I don't buy this "I'm this man of principle" crap. At least in the political arena, I'm not talking about his faith. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he turns it on and turns it off, turns it on when he needs it. But anyways, after this afternoon, Dan, you'll feel better. And then,
saying that so when I do my inoculation against the coronavirus this afternoon?
Oh, you're getting inoculation for that?
Yeah, you know how I inoculate myself? Do you know how I inoculate myself?
Oh, yeah, I got you. Is that going to be a 24 case or just a 12-pack?
Two.
Or a suitcase?
Just two beers. Jim, I got to go, buddy. I want you to have a great day. Let me go to Billy. Billy, welcome aboard. I have to hit a break.
No, you can go to Billy.
Billy, welcome aboard.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How many combined years does Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders have in Washington, D.C.?
Ooh, that's a lot. Let's see. Bernie's been there for 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
He was first elected to Congress, I think, in the 94, like early 90s. So, yeah.
And changed a bit.
It's like 30 years.
Been a long time, Billy.
Well, yeah, the reason why I'm getting at, you got Biden. He's been there for forever. You got Sanders. We just talked about him. Elizabeth Warren. And here it is that Iowa caucus, the results are slowly trickling in. And you got a small town mayor that's kicking their butts right now. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's saying a lot about the Democrats and what they've done in Washington, D.C. for the past 40-plus years. And for the results to speak that, it just tells me that when Hillary, when she lost this election, everybody put their eggs in one basket with her, all the Democrats. It was a given she was going to win. She could not lose. It's a sure fix. We got this thing in the bag. And lo and behold, here comes a man with no political experience at all, kicks her rear end, gives her a good curb stomping, okay, becomes president, and just the rest is history. We know what good job Donald Trump's done up until now. And the Democrats are just scurrying around right now trying to find somebody to go against this two-headed monster. And it's just not going to work for them. It's just not going to work.
I agree.
Y'all have a good day.
Thanks. Let me go to a break. Coming back, Debbie, right after this.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will. Making their way.
The Dan Morris Show.
The only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
You've been hearing a lot lately about the Poarch Creek Indians' billion-dollar plan for Alabama. Upon closer examination, that figure looks more like, fuzzy math. About a half of that billion won't go to the state at all. It will be spent by the tribe to build two new casinos, one in Birmingham, and one in North Alabama. Those casinos will feature Las Vegas-style games like blackjack, craps, and roulette. But it will give the Porch Creek a monopoly on gaming in the state, prohibiting any private sector competition. The Porch Creek Plan, good for the tribe, a gamble for Alabama. Call 334-261-0500 and tell your representatives to say no dice to the Indians' plan. 261-0500. 261-0500. Paid for by McGreen Investments, LLC, Birmingham, Alabama.
Thousands of American lives lost on 9/11. Bradley Byrne thought of his brother, Dale Byrne.
When the towers fell, I knew my brother would be going to war. Dale was a true patriot. I miss him every day.
Dale passed away a few years ago, but his memory fuels his brother's desire to serve. Byrne has defended our values in Congress. Work hard, right wrongs, and fear God.
It hurts me to hear Ilhan Omar cheapening 9/11, entitled athletes dishonoring our flag, the squad attacking America. Dale fought for that right, but I won't let them tear our country apart. That's why I'm running for Senate.
Our values and our president are under attack by the radical left. We need a true Christian conservative to carry our flag. We need Bradley Byrne. Bradley Byrne for U.S. Senate.
I'm Bradley Byrne, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Byrne for Senate.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I was feeling about a half past dead.
272-9228.
I just needed some place where I could lay.
Made my reservation for the vintage year for tomorrow night. Really looking forward to that. Chef Eric has got some specials already on the menu that I'm really looking forward to. Crab cake. Snapper, or grouper, actually, is what you're telling me. Haven't had, you know, I've been doing hamburger night an awful lot and then Sunday brunch, but their dinners are just absolutely incredible. If you have not been to the Vintage Year Village Cafe, you need to go. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hi, Dan. I have a question, just out of curiosity. You know, I was watching the State of the Union address. I saw the heckler being taken out. They said it was somebody from the school that had the mass murder, you know, Sandy Brook, I think, or something. Anyway, they knew who he was. Now, this is the curious part to me. You heard the heckle, but they had the camera on Trump. Then they, you know, turned the camera so that you could see the man being walked out.
Right.
Then they showed the section where the Democrats were sitting all in white, and half of them were out of their seats and moving around. Then you saw Nancy with her hand like, stop, you know, no, you know, with a real stern look. And I'm kind of wondering, was that a setup? How did that man end up in there? Is that for just anybody? How did this happen?
That's a great question. He would have to get a pass from a member to be up there.
Do you think it was a setup? Because I really felt that it was a setup and Nancy at the last moment got a little sanity going and decided maybe that wasn't a good idea.
No, I'm not sure what, because I saw that. I saw the same thing too. I couldn't tell if she was trying to say stop him, because her hand went up when he started yelling. Or was she saying to them, don't cheer him?
Right.
But
I'm really thinking that was more along the lines of what was set up. You know, the cheering or the rooting them on or standing ovation or something like that.
Well, it could have been one of the members that was down, that, you know, it could have been somebody in the in the squad or something. They gave him the ticket, and then that's how they got in.
Yeah, I was just curious because I kind of figured it wasn't something that just anybody could walk into.
Oh, no, no, no. So, you have to have a pass from a member of Congress.
That just sounds curious. And the security then of whoever was handling that don't you think they should have noticed that?
No, and again, it's kind of weird. The Capitol Hill Police are basically run by Congress, and then Congress, the Capitol Hill, particularly when you're on the House side, Nancy Pelosi's in charge, so they're probably not going to ask the questions like, who gave you this ticket to get the pass to get in, and because they don't want to out and hurt a Democrat member.
Wow. That is something else, though. I was just wondering how that could have happened. I just felt like it was a huge setup. It just looked too packed. And half the members were standing at the time they went and turned the camera back. Why were they standing?
I think what they were trying to do is they were standing and turning and looking at the... because it happened on the gallery side, the First Lady and all the presidential guests are a little bit off to the left of center. And this happened to the, while you're looking at the gallery, this happened right of center, which is right above where the Democrats were. So I'm thinking that a Democrat gave him the ticket. I think the Democrats turned and looked up in the balcony to see what was going on. That's my take.
Okay. I was just curious. I just couldn't quite get it all, but I was wondering, like I had said, how in the world did it even begin? How did they even get in there? That to me is almost scary. That kind of breach of security. What if he had something on him? I mean, I'm sure.
You have to go through a magnetometer to get up in the gallery.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, that was my curiosity of the day. Thank you so much for helping me with
that. Thank you. You're so welcome. I'm going to go to Papa John. Papa John, welcome aboard the NAMO show.
Hey, Dan. I'll try to be quick on this. I think right now the Republicans are 35 in the minority in Congress and 4 in the majority in the Senate. That's not right.
Yeah, they have the Senate majority is 53-47.
Okay. All right. So, all right. If the political climate does not change between now and November, how much change do you think there's going to be in both houses, and what kind of effect is that going to have if they end up with a majority in both on the president's actions in the next term?
If they end up with a majority in both, it'd be deadly for Trump.
Give me some examples.
Well, in the House has an absolute authority in the majority, so that what they would do is they would impeach him again.
No. I'm going the other way. I'm saying if political climate right now, which I think favors the conservatives.
Oh no, I agree with that. I think that will take the House, and I think we'll keep the Senate.
Okay. What effects do you think that's going to have on Trump's actions in the next term? Again, I'm assuming he's going to be reelected.
I think that he'll be able to do the things that he wants to do and needs to do, and I think it'll be a different Donald Trump, because if you think about it, he has had the problem, particularly in the last year of dealing with the Democrats, actually 2 years of dealing with the Democrats, and he's not going to have that problem anymore if they take over the House. And I promise you, they will not be nice to the Democrats like they were in 2017 and 2018.
Okay. And again, if you go to 2022, if there's no change again in Congress, if it's the same, and he is not a lame duck president, then he's got pretty much a rubber stamp in his hand, if I'm not correct?
Not a rubber stamp because of the cloture rule and things like that in the Senate, but he's going to be able to get a lot more done.
Yeah.
And in 2022, we have the most seats up right now. They had the most seats up 4 years ago. They go back on their side, and they have a lot of seats up in 2022.
Okay. So it's going to conceivably get worse, right?
It can conceivably get worse. You normally do not gain an off-year election.
Okay.
Okay.
The party in power does not gain an off-year election.
Okay. Okay. All right, buddy. Well, look. Hey, put me into the drawing, 910.
You got it.
Thank you, bud.
Take care. Be safe out there. T-Spear, I'm going to take you before the top of the hour, but you're going to have to be quick.
Oh, real quick. There is a U.S. Senate code out called 2017 that discusses the what happens to someone when they destroy government property. Is Nancy Pelosi not subject to this same law that we are subject to?
Oh, for tearing up the thing?
Yep. That becomes government property the moment he handed it to her in the State of the Union address. If he had handed it to her before, then it's just a discussion. But as he handed it to her at a formal event like that, does that not become government property? And if so, why is she not being held to the same standard that you and I would be held?
Well, I think that the penalty that she's going to pay is going to be the public opinion penalty. And with
enough.
What that did, well, her losing the speakership would be pretty good.
She would be the first speaker in history to lose a majority twice.
Yeah.
But what that did is that personified exactly what the Democrats' problem is and what the country's problem is with the Democrats. It shows how out of touch they are, how mean they are, how they hate the president. They basically came across very unpatriotic, very self-serving. I tell you what, that ad will be run in more congressional districts than you can shake a stick at.
Just her losing to me is not enough for what she has done to this country. Joey, add me in. 8:30.
You got it, Joey?
8:30?
8:30.
2:0. You got
8:20.
It?
20, okay.
Going to be back right after the top of the hour break. Thanks for the call, T-Spear.
I could lay my head. Just grinned and shook my hand. No is all he said. Walking side by side, and I said, hey.